Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh and in this audio we'll discuss postmodern era. Now let me begin with a very famous quotation by Jean-Francois Lyotard. There is a very famous work by him. It's called The Postmodern Condition. Okay, The Postmodern Condition, which came out in 1979. In this work he says, quote, simplifying to the extreme, I define postmodern as incredulity towards meta-narratives, unquote. Okay? Simplifying to the extreme, I define postmodern as incredulity towards meta-narratives. So what is the meaning of meta-narrative? Meta-narrative basically is grand or totalizing narrative. So any narrative about reason, truth, progress, something that seems to talk about everything. And what is the meaning of incredulity? Incredulity basically means not believing in something, not feeling or wanting to believe in something. So incredulity towards meta-narrative means unwillingness to believe in the grand and totalizing narratives which were constructed in earlier centuries. Okay? And as Lyotard points out, that now that many people have become disillusioned with the grandiose claims of meta-narratives, now they have turned to smaller little narratives or narrower narratives. For example, the history of everyday life of people, especially of marginalized groups in the postmodern era, in the postmodern age. Okay? So this is how Lyotard describes the term postmodern. Okay? Incredulity towards meta-narratives. Now after that, with respect to the historical background, now keep in mind that after the Second World War, there was a sense of disillusionment in entire of Europe. And not just entire of Europe, but also in the intellectual circles around the world. And even in Great Britain, the damage that the World War II had done had left deep scars on the psyche of the British people. Now, on one hand, it is true that Great Britain, along with the other allies that it had, they had won the war. But the initial optimism after winning the war gave way to anxieties about the coming new war, which was the Cold War. Afterwards, there are a lot of economic issues in Great Britain. There is the decline of the British Empire. Remember, in 1947, India got independence. And subsequently, other nations around the world that were earlier colonized by Great Britain, that also achieved independence one by one. So there was a gradual disintegration of the British Empire. And each coming decade of the 1990s, be it the 1950s, 1960s, brought about a wave of social and cultural change. There was increased immigration from other parts of the world to Great Britain. So Great Britain became more and more diverse and multicultural. Along with this, traditional class structures were challenged and there were movements for gender equality, sexual liberation, racial justice. Then keep in mind that in terms of technology and industrialization, the Industrial Revolution had been ongoing ever since the beginning. And even post-Second World War, there was rapid technological progress. Okay? Particularly in the field of media and communication. Along with this, there is the rise of consumer culture. And all of these developments influenced literary styles also. So we have writers experimenting with new styles. In literature, you'll also find elements from popular culture. Then as I said earlier that Britain, as a result of increasing levels of immigration, became more multicultural. Because of this, we see increasing levels of writing, and writing now also started to explore the themes of identity, cultural hybridity, belonging. Okay? So all of these new themes can be seen in the literature that is produced post-Second World War in Great Britain. Okay? And this was the combined effect of changing technology, changing lifestyle and changing social norms. Okay? Along with this, in postmodern literature, you'll find that such literature challenges the notion of a single objective reality. Now we have a multiplicity of truth. Okay, with the rise of post-structuralist theories about language, now there is more emphasis on subjective experiences. Now there will be a blurring of boundaries between fiction and reality. Okay? And there is a famous quotation by the author E.L. Doctorow. Okay? E.L. Doctorow. Now he is an American novelist. And he is known for blending historical and fictional elements in his writings. Let me quote what he said. Quote, there is no longer any such thing as fiction or non-fiction. There is only narrative. Unquote. Okay? There is no longer any such thing as fiction or non-fiction. There is only narrative. Okay? So basically this quotation captures the postmodern idea that the distinction between fiction and non-fiction is blurred. Everything nowadays is just narrative constructed by the author. Then after that, let me tell you another quotation. This is from Salman Rushdie, his novel Midnight's Children. That is very famous, award-winning novel. Quote, "Reality is a question of perspective. The further you get from the past, the more concrete and plausible it seems. But as you approach the present, it inevitably seems incredible." Unquote. ठीक है? Reality is a question of perspective. The further you get from the past, the more concrete and plausible it seems. But as you approach the present, it inevitably seems incredible. And incredible here means impossible to believe. ठीक है? So what Salman Rushdie is pointing out here is that our perception of reality changes over time. ठीक है? Our perception of reality changes over time. The past can appear more stable and understandable if examined from a distance, which is the present. While the present, with its complexities and uncertainties, can seem almost unbelievable, despite the fact that we are living in the present. So basically, this quotation captures the dominant idea in postmodern literature, which is the questioning of the nature of reality itself and how it is constructed by individual perspectives. Okay? So in postmodern literature, what are the other things that you'll find? You'll find intertextuality. You'll find parody and pastiche, and in particular pastiche, okay? And what is pastiche? Just a kind of imitation, when we imitate somebody else's work, okay? Then you'll find metafiction. Metafiction kya hota hai? A kind of fiction that draws attention to its own fictional nature, okay? So the element of self-reflexivity is there. Then as it happened during the modern era, fragmentation is always an element. Even in post-modern era, fragmentation can be found. So you'll find literature that reflects the fragmented nature of contemporary society. So there will be non-linear narratives, disjointed structures, okay? The way we had in T.S. Eliot's Wasteland. So of course, some ideas of the modern era still continue in the postmodern era. Just because we are in the postmodern era, it doesn't mean that we have totally repudiated modern era or the ideas that were prevalent in the modern era. Okay? Along with this, you'll find the element of experimentation, the way we had in modern era. That feature also continues in the postmodern era. So writers experiment with narrative structure, chronology, point of view. Okay? And of course, there is a willingness to break with the traditional norms and conventions of literature. That is why we see the rise of new genres in the field of literature, those genres that earlier did not exist, or those genres which were just treated with contempt and not even regarded literature. And a related aspect that you'll find in the literature of postmodern era is the mixing of different genres, mixing of high and low culture also, and mixing of different genres and styles also in the same novel or in the same poem. Okay? And with the rise of post-structuralism and deconstruction, now the very nature of language is questioned in literature. Okay? So there are writers who write about language itself, the limitations and complexities of language and expressing anything. So basically what they intend to do is they want to reflect on the breakdown of traditional forms of communication or the limitations of traditional forms of communication through language. Okay? So whenever you read postmodern era literature, keep in mind the historical background. What were the important political, economic and social events that took place in Great Britain? Along with this, also keep in mind the literary characteristics. What was the style of literature? What were the major themes in literature? Okay? Now, let me quote a very famous critic who talks about the postmodern era. Okay? Now, this is a different critic. Okay? Quote, "The ending of the Second World War did not bring with it stability. The world had moved into the atomic age with the dropping of bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan in 1945. With the atomic bomb, the world was on a knife edge. The world might end at any moment. This threat hung over the world until the end of the so-called Cold War between the Communist bloc and the West in the late 1980s. The so-called Iron Curtain divided the world politically into communist and non-communist. The United States of America, in the meanwhile, became the dominant economic and cultural force in the world, a position which was strengthened by the fall of communist regimes in the late 1980s and early 1990s. And the Second World War also accelerated the breakup of the British Empire and forced upon Great Britain a reassessment of its place in the world. The years since the end of the Second World War have seen a decline in British influence and continuing failure to compete successfully with the newly developing economies of the world. Unquote. So this is how this critic starts by describing the historical background in the second half of the 20th century or after the Second World War. And after this, this critic talks about British society and thereafter literature. So let me quote once again. Quote, after the Second World War, the changes in society... After the Second World War, the changes in society means Western society. The changes in society, whether it be changes in literature or whether it be changes in the way we think, the changes in society were every bit as deep and far-reaching as they were after the First World War. See, if you have read about the modern era, you would know that World War I was so devastating that it shocked the conscience of the entire continent of Europe. World War II, that was even more shocking and more devastating. So that shocked the conscience of the entire world, not just Europe and America, the entire world. And since World War, the two world wars had taken place in Europe, over there the effect was much more because they had seen two world wars, so much of destruction again after the First World War. And the sense of fragmentation developed into a sense of absurdity and also of existential futility. And with respect to Britain, means United Kingdom, each decade since the Second World War has had a distinct and different feeling. For example, the 1950s were the age of austerity. Then in the 1960s, the age of youth. The 1970s, the age of anxiety. The 1980s, an age of new materialism. The 1990s, an age of recession and preoccupation. Now, using one phrase, I am trying to characterize an entire decade, okay, from 1950s to 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. And this is with respect to British society. You know, just as it happens in, you know, even in India that, you know, during the 1990s, matlab India mein pehli baar LPG hua tha, means liberalization, privatization and globalization. Reforming of the economy happened. And there are many things which were different in the 1990s. Then, if you take the example of India, in 2000s, there was something different which probably happened. Then, in 2010 onwards, something else happened. Something distinctive happens every, let's say, not just every decade, but even year. But here, what I'm trying to do is characterize British society from 1950 to 1960 through 1970s and till 1990s. And these changes were due to many reasons. They were because of increasing level of immigration, then economic difficulties, opportunities, advancement of technology, just as it happens anywhere in the world. So this is what Great Britain was undergoing. Okay. And with respect to literature, there is a new richness and diversity in English writing. Okay. New richness and diversity. And diversity primarily because now even the immigrants are writing. You know, just as, you know, many Indian immigrants or South Asian immigrants went to Britain, they settled down. And when their children were born and brought up in Britain, they were just British. But they couldn't leave their earlier culture. So they found new ways of writing. Therefore, there is a new richness and diversity in English writing after the Second World War. Okay. Now, after that, we should understand the distinction between modern and postmodern. I have explained that little bit, but let me explain that again. Now, modern ka kya matlab hota? Modern means basically the first part of the 20th century. Postmodern means the second half of the 20th century, means after Second World War. Okay, so this is broadly what it means. But you will realize when you, you know, do more reading that postmodernism defies all definition. Matlab, it cannot be defined like romanticism. Postmodernism almost defies definition. Unlike romanticism, neoclassicism, which had certain traits, certain characteristics. In postmodernism, there are way many traits and characteristics. So it is difficult to characterize. So postmodernism defies definition and rather it celebrates diversity, eclecticism, okay, eclecticism and parody in all forms of art, from architecture to cinema, from music to literature. Because postmodernism is not something limited to literature. It is something which has affected other forms of art as well. Means architecture is also affected. Music is also affected.
Then what are the other traits of postmodernism? See, postmodernism can be characterized by its broad skepticism towards various issues, subjectivism or relativism, then a general suspicion of reason and an acute sensitivity to the role of ideology in asserting and maintaining political and economic power. So this can be a broad definition of what exactly postmodernism is. But if you examine the definition closely, you will realize that this is too broad, right? So what do the postmodernists believe? See, many postmodernists hold that first, there is no objective reality. Second, there is no objective historical truth. Third, science and technology and even reason and logic are not vehicles of human progress, but suspect instruments of established power. Fourth, reason and logic are not universally valid. Okay? Then fifth, there is no such thing as human nature. Human behavior and psychology are socially determined or constructed. So there is no such thing as human nature. Sixth, language does not refer to a reality outside itself. Okay, language does not refer to a reality outside itself. After that, seventh, there is no certain knowledge. And last one, no general theory of the natural or social world can be valid or true for everyone always. Means nothing is universal. Ye matlab hai iska. That no general theory of the natural or social world can be valid or true for everyone always. In addition, from the point of view of literature, the things quite often seen in postmodernist texts is a lack of linear narrative. Okay, lack of linear narrative. Then use of magic realism. And questioning of or scrutiny of language itself. So they don't trust language. There's a kind of scrutiny of language itself. The subject matter in postmodernist texts is still the same. Still it's about human experiences, human thinking, human condition. But the means and methods of exploring it are infinitely richer and more varied than ever before. Now you'll find many other literary modes which did not even exist earlier. Means new literary genres are coming up and have actually come up. After that, in postmodernist texts, identity seems to be a common theme. Be it sexual identity, local identity, national identity, racial identity, then spiritual identity, intellectual identity. All of these and many other types of identities tend to be talked about, tend to be discussed in postmodernist texts. After that, the present, past and future. Means the time that has passed, the time that is ongoing, the time that is yet to come. All of these three, past, present and future, seem to coexist in literature today as never before. For instance, there is a famous quotation by T.S. Eliot from The Wasteland. And all of these methods of writing that are used in literature, in postmodern texts, it basically adds to the celebration of diversity in writing. And making the end of the 20th century the most diverse and rich mixture of old and new, English and non-English, standard and non-standard, male and female, public and private, universal and individual, certain and uncertain. And all of these are methods used to express the contemporary world we live in. Means by using old English and new English, English and non-English means some other words from some other languages are also borrowed. For example, take the example of T.S. Eliot. Then standard English and non-standard English is also used. For instance, slang, colloquial words. After that, male and female points of view are there in postmodernist texts. Even in postmodernist texts, you'll realize that they are skeptical of universalism or universal principles or theories, but they still talk about some universal things. And at the same time, they will also talk about some individual things. So this is the reason why postmodern texts or literature is very diverse. There are so many different modes of writing. So as a small recap, the subject matter of postmodernist texts or literature might be the same, but the way it is explored, the way the human condition or the human experiences are explored and talked about, that is very diverse. Now, whether you take the example of characterization, that seems to be different because there are no longer, heroes. The same person can behave in a very heroic way or very unheroic way. The same person can at times be called anti-hero. That is the difference. That is one more difference. And as I said, that narrative technique is different. There is no longer linear narrative. There is use of magic realism. And along with this, identity is something common or something spoken about in almost every postmodernist text. But yes, identity is not just singular. Now it is plural. Whether it be gender identity, racial identity, intellectual identity, spiritual identity.
Unquote. So few things this critic points out that you should keep in mind with respect to literature. The first thing is literature in the postmodern era became very diverse. There is a great deal of diversity. Second thing which this critic pointed out is that there is a lot of eclecticism in literature. Okay? Eclecticism. E-C-L-E-C-T-I-C-I-S-M. Eclecticism. So what is the meaning of this? Kya matlab hai iska? Now, eclecticism in literature means that literature takes ideas from different sources. And the dictionary meaning of eclecticism is also this, that when we try to combine things from different areas or systems, usse kehte hain eclectic or eclecticism. So, eclecticism in literature means, suppose there is a novel, theek hai? That novel which blends elements from multiple genres, like combining some ideas from science fiction, also combining some ideas from historical fiction, then magic realism. So the point is trying to draw from a diverse range of literary styles and techniques within the single narrative. So usse kahenge eclecticism in literature. And perhaps one of the greatest examples is The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot, right? Because this poem draws from various literary traditions, mythologies and also historical references. Then a more modern example of eclecticism in literature can be the famous novel Slaughterhouse 5. Okay, Slaughterhouse 5 by the writer Kurt Vonnegut. Shayad aapne padha hi hoga ise. Slaughterhouse 5 by Kurt Vonnegut. Because this novel also combines elements of science fiction, war narrative, time travel and also humor, dark humor. So even this is a good example of eclecticism in literature. Okay? So keep in mind diversity in literature, eclecticism in literature and also the prevalence of parody in literature, in postmodern literature. Along with this, also keep in mind that with respect to things like narrative technique, there will be a variety of narrative techniques in postmodern literature. In terms of characterization, there will be variety also. It won't be limited only to a hero or a villain. There can be also something called anti-hero or no hero at all. Then, in terms of genres, there is a great deal of variety even there. Okay? And also, one more point which this critic pointed out is that in postmodern literature, the past, present and future coexist. Okay? And if you recall, there is a very famous quotation by T.S. Eliot. Okay? So let me quote that. Okay? Quote, time present and time past are both perhaps present in time future and time future contained in time past. Unquote. Now this is a very famous quotation from one of the poems of T.S. Eliot. And the name of the poem is Burnt Norton. It is the first poem in his four quartets. Okay? And as this quotation indicates that somehow past, present and future are interwoven. And if you recall, as the critic also indicated, that in postmodern literature, the past, present and future coexist like never before. Okay? So, when you are reading postmodern literature, just keep in mind these points, the basic traits of literature that we discussed. Okay?